From KCRW in Santa Monica and PRI, Public Radio International, this is To the Point.
Is it time to retreat from the sea? Hello again, I'm Armin Alney, and this is To the Point from Public Radio International, a daily look at the issues Americans care about most. Forget spending billions in tax dollars to rebuild coastal developments destroyed by Superstorm Sandy. New York Governor Cuomo has a better idea. Buy up vulnerable properties, restore the beaches to their natural condition, and enjoy a publicly owned resource until the inevitable happens again. The nonpartisan Government Accountability Office doesn't go that far, but it is warning that climate change is one of the highest risks to financial stability. Are the beaches the first place to prepare for the consequences of climate change? Where will it happen next? On Reporter's Notebook later on, mixed reviews for Tesla's electric car. First, here's the news.
Listen to KCRW's 24-hour all-news channel. Stream BBC World Service, NPR, and KCRW programs. Continuous coverage and accessible via our smartphone app or online at kcrw.com.
Support for To the Point comes from the members of KCRW and from the Public Radio International Program Fund.
Hello again, Warman Alney, back with To the Point. New York's Governor Cuomo says the lesson of Superstorm Sandy is the vulnerability of coastal development to climate change. Instead of rebuilding damaged properties, he wants to buy them up and restore their natural condition. Will homeowners and developers go along? What about developments in the Carolinas, Florida, the Gulf of Mexico, and the coastlands of the Pacific Ocean? On Reporter's Notebook, electric car pioneer Elon Musk has accused a New York Times reporter of deliberately trying to make his Tesla Model S luxury car look bad. We heard about a dispute with potential impact on the future of a much-hyped industry. First, this news update. Today is the day that a huge asteroid is passing close to Earth without incident, but a smaller meteor streaked across the sky over Russia, creating an ongoing shockwave and causing extensive damage and injuring 980 people before blowing up near the city of Chelyabinsk in the Ural Mountains. Will England is Moscow correspondent for the Washington Post. Will England, good to have you on our program. It appears all that was occurring about 900 miles from Moscow, once again near the city of Chelyabinsk. Will England, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Tell us a bit, if you will, about the kind of panic that this apparently caused in the areas where the meteor passed over.
Well, it was a great big swath of territory, actually, although outside of the city of Chelyabinsk, you don't actually have that many people living there. About 9:20 this morning, local time, these contrails streaking across the sky, more or less from east to west, been some dispute about the actual direction, then bright flash, and this draws a lot of people to their windows to come outside to see what this is about. And then, several long moments later, there's the shockwave. It's either the shockwave from the explosion as the meteor disintegrated, or it's the sonic boom. I think I've heard both explanations, but it's a gigantic, strong shockwave. As someone has pointed out, it was more powerful than the nuclear bomb that North Korea just detonated. Smashes lots and lots of windows, sets the alarms off on cars. People, of course, have no idea what's going on. And there's a tremendous amount of fear and consternation over this.
How many people were hurt? How seriously?
The most recent figures we have are 1,148 people, very precise. I'm not sure I think we can bank on that. Almost none seriously, nobody killed. That's really quite remarkable, even a factory wall and roof coming down. A handful perhaps seriously injured, but that's it.
Again, Will England is Moscow correspondent for The Washington Post. Jonathan McDowell is astronomer at the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics. He blogs at Jonathan's Space Report. And Jonathan McDowell, good to have you back on our program.
Hi, Warren. Good to be here.
How do you explain this?
Well, you know, there's lots of these little rocks flying through the solar system. It's a really big coincidence that this is the biggest meteor strike that we've had in decades. Certainly, the most serious impact, probably since the 1908 Tunguska event, and the first one we know of to cause these kinds of injuries. And so, the fact that happens on the same day that you've got an unrelated asteroid passing close to the Earth from another direction is quite a surprise, but it really alerts us to the fact that the solar system is kind of a dangerous place.
Let me go back to Will England, Moscow correspondent for The Washington Post. I understand there were some who said that this must be a United States weapons test.
Well, yes. Vladimir Zhirinovsky, the bad boy of Russian nationalism, made that suggestion. Say, I don't think anybody really takes that very seriously. But, you know, this fits into this whole incident today has fit into this kind of general Russian mistrust of anything the authorities say. So there are all sorts of conspiracy theories out there, mostly not involving U.S. weaponry, and lots of sort of feeling that the government must be lying, even though people can't quite put their finger on what the government may be lying about. There was one lie. A representative of the Emergency Situations Ministry boasted that the ministry had sent out text alerts to everyone before this happened, which was not the truth. People got upset about that. He was fired later today. So
okay, Jonathan McDowell, very quickly, the shockwave. Why does it cause such a shockwave?
So the fact that it's traveling very, very fast, even though it's only a few yards across, the amount of kinetic energy that it has is enormous, and you're slamming into the atmosphere, releasing all that energy in the form of an explosion, so it's like a small nuclear weapon but without any of the radiation.
Okay, but tiny compared to the asteroid that is passing by the Earth as we speak. Thank you both, Jonathan McDowell at the Harvard-Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics, Will England, Moscow correspondent for The Washington Post. In a moment, is it time to retreat from the sea? On To the Point.
Take KCRW with you on one of our smartphone apps. Available for the iPhone, Android, and BlackBerry, you can stream KCRW live, listen to podcasts, and all our news and music streams. Learn more and download at kcrw.com/apps.
KCRW thanks Factiva from Dow Jones for its use of Factiva.com.
Worman Olney back with To the Point. Here's New York Governor Andrew Cuomo on the lessons of Superstorm Sandy.
There is a wake-up call here, and there is a lesson to be learned. There's a reality that has existed for a long time that we have been blind to, and that is climate change, extreme weather, call it what you will, and our vulnerability to it.
Cuomo says the wake-up call has raised profound questions about how to prepare for the next superstorm.
First question is going to be, what should we rebuild, where, and how? Maybe Mother Nature is telling us something. One time, two times, three times. There are places that are going to be victimized by storms. We know that now.
Thomas Kaplan is based in Albany for the New York Times. Thomas, good to have you on our show. What specifically does the governor plan, it's rather radical plan, to do about this?
Well, the governor's plan is to offer a buyout program to folks who live in the 100-year floodplain along the New York City coastline. And the idea basically would be that people who moved, you know, to the shore perhaps decades ago before climate change, not realizing the kinds of severe weather they would have to deal with, would have an opportunity to move elsewhere and save themselves from going through this again.
I should say, reassure our listeners who are wondering about the time span here, that those comments we just heard from the governor, of course, came last year. But the buyout plan itself has just been proposed in the last few weeks. Thomas, give us more detail as to who would be bought out and to what extent.
Well, the offer would depend on where people are situated along the shore. The broadest category would be people in the 100-year floodplain who suffered significant damage to their homes because of Hurricane Sandy, and they would be able to sell their homes to the state for the pre-storm market value, which would be an attractive offer, I think, by most accounts, given that folks who have put their homes on the market after the storm have seen kind of been shocked by the plummeting market values.
And some of them haven't even been able to move back in, isn't that right?
Exactly. So this would be a solution to them. It would be a solution for people who are worried about rising flood insurance premiums, and that this would basically give them an option if they wanted to say, I need to get out. The governor would further provide incentives for people who are in even more vulnerable areas on the shoreline, offering bonuses so that people could actually receive above the pre-storm market value of their home, especially if in some of the most vulnerable areas, if everyone on a certain block agreed to move. So that would be sort of a sweetener that could further incentivize people to move inland.
And what then would happen to the land?
The land would be turned into natural buffers in a lot of cases, so marshland, beaches, bird sanctuaries. In some cases, it could be turned into parkland, but the one consistent thing is nothing would be built on this land. The idea would be to gradually start to shift how New York develops its coastline by not building in the most vulnerable areas. So that would be the key thing, is keeping the land as open space and actually using it in a way that could help protect neighborhoods and shoreline communities from these ferocious storms when they hit.
And this is based on the idea, I take it, that this is not just a 100-year a threat, but something because of climate change that's going to happen more often, according to the governor.
Exactly. And this is what the governor has emphasized. He, you know, has said, he's been governor for 2 years. He's faced more extreme weather in his 2 years as governor than his father, Mario Cuomo, did in 12 years as governor. And he very quickly brought up climate change in the wake of the storm. And that's really what he cites in explaining this. He says, you know, things are changing. You're going to face these storms more often. And places where you might have been able to build a home on ground level a generation or two ago, you just can't do that anymore. And that's really what's driving this.
Thomas Kaplan, political reporter at the State House in Albany for the New York Times. Joseph Tyrone is a resident of Staten Island. He's a realtor, and he's the founder of the Oakwood Beach Buyout Committee. Joseph Tyrone, good to have you on our show.
Thank you so much for having me.
How does this sound to people on the Oakwood Beach Buyout Committee? It sounds like it might be a good deal.
Well, it sounds like Tom was really describing exactly Oakwood Beach in what he just talked about. I mean, we fit the bill exactly. Oakwood Beach, there's the area that the buyout committee really represents is an area of about 165 homes. And out of the 165 homes that lie in this floodplain, 133 have actually signed up for the buyout program. But actually, we have not been able to locate 25 of the homeowners yet, so that number will probably grow. And in addition to that, there's a couple of streets that are right outside of our target area that are also in what the city describes as the Blue Belt, which is a stormwater retention system. They also are wanting to join in. So that number will definitely grow in our little community that's found within the Blue Belt.
Just describe, if you will, for our listeners around the country, where Oakwood Beach is.
Okay, it's the eastern shore of Staten Island. And as a matter of fact, something just came out yesterday in terms of the force of the storm was most significant in the Oakwood Beach section. So it's the east shore of the island. It's about maybe 4 miles from the Verrazano Bridge, going south on the island, and it's right next to a water treatment plant as well. And the Blue Belt extends a little bit further than obviously our little community. But it's right there on the shore.
And what are the houses there, before the storm, what were those houses worth, roughly?
I just did a median price for the area, and it came to $400,000.
Okay. Thomas Kaplan, quickly back to you. This doesn't extend, I take it, the governor's offer to people who live on places like Fire Island, where they have multi-million dollar homes hanging right on the beach.
Right. That's one key provision of this. The state is not interested in buying million-dollar, you know, beach homes. The way they're going to deal with that is by setting a cap on what they'll pay for a home. Hasn't been fully determined yet, but it'll probably be somewhere in the ballpark of the median pre-storm market value of a home in any given neighborhood. So state officials have suggested, you know, that could be somewhere in the range of $300,000 perhaps in some neighborhoods, but certainly not looking at paying seven figures to buy out a home using tax dollars.
And Joseph Tyrone, these are people, I take it, who live there year-round. These are not vacationers.
That's correct. I mean, the history of the neighborhood, most of the bungalows in the area were built between, I'd say, 1920 and 1950. And then it's sort of grown since then. But the people in this area are all, it's, I would say, 90% of them, I would say, are homeowners that live there, and the other 10% are people like myself who have investments there.
Okay, so here are 133 people that want to move out, want to take the buyout, 25 owners in that area not yet accounted for. Senator Joe Addabbo has a different story to tell. He's a state senator representing the 15th District in Queens. The southern third of his district was very heavily impacted by Sandy. Senator, good to have you on our program.
Hi, guys. Good afternoon.
You're not a beach dweller yourself, I take it.
I am not, no.
But others are.
Many of my constituents are, yes.
And what do they think of this idea?
Well, you know, when the governor first announced it, I had a handful of constituents who were at least mildly interested in the details, but the vast majority of my constituents at this point are not interested.
Do they worry, as the governor says they should, that this might happen to them again?
Many have taken precautions for what we know will be the next storm coming. We understand that Sandy is not the last of the storms to come. But these are generational families who have weathered storms before. And then these are families who said that, you know, through the generations, their family either has owned that particular house or have lived in the community, and they're not leaving.
The General Accounting Office of the Congress now is saying that this is, for the first time, is saying that weather of this type and weather caused by climate change is now a real threat to the stability of the federal government. We're talking to some extent about federal assistance here. Senator, are the people who live there, do you think, taking this into consideration, have they heard the same wake-up call that the governor has?
Well, I think at this point some families may be making an emotional decision to stay, and maybe over a short period of time that emotional feeling may change and they may make a financial decision. You know, we have so many moving parts here. We have, you know, this proposal to buy the properties as the governor has done, and I give the governor credit for thinking ahead and certainly thinking out of the box here, but very, very few details. You know, where are we coming up with, you know, probably billions of dollars needed to buy these homes, and what dollar amounts would be needed to buy these homes? So I think many of my residents are still waiting for details to come forward. And again, more and more residents are now looking at the newly issued flood maps and the requirements with the new flood maps. And they may make another, you know, educated decision at some point that is right for them. I think it's a case-by-case basis by neighborhood. I think it's a case-by-case basis for the individual property owner.
And Joseph Tyrone, back to you with the Oakwood Beach Buyout Committee. The people in your organization are just sick and tired of all this?
Well, yeah, it's interesting because if you talk to the people just before Irene last year, they probably, or in 2011, I should say, they probably were of the same mindset. You know, they had sand in their shoes as well, and it's generational there as well. So it was really amazing to me when after the storm hit, and I was walking around, and I actually, that's for the first time, really met all these neighbors. I was very shocked to see that everyone was really of the mindset they had enough and they wanted to get out of there. And that's how we found out about the government programs, the way FEMA will buy out homes, and then everyone really sort of clung to that. But what happened was with Irene last year, the area suffered flooding for about maybe 2 to 4 feet. And mostly it was basements that got flooded out, and they've been dealing with that over the years. It's been many years where they're getting flooding there, again, because it's in a floodplain. It's a stormwater retention area, so you're getting the surge from the ocean on one side, and you're getting the storm runoff water from the other side. So this area has been inundated over the years, and starting in 1992 with a nor'easter that compromised both the seawall and the berm. But then Irene kind of knocked everyone back on their heels and was like, wow, that was really powerful, and we haven't seen that in 20 years. When Sandy came, boom, that was a knockout punch, and nobody, really, hardly anyone can get back up after that. So the mentality has changed dramatically. Everyone there has had it. When we have our community meetings, that's really basically everyone's philosophy. You know, you just look at everyone, they're just looking and hoping for help. And this buyout is really, in their minds, and in my mind as well, the only alternative. And like you said in the beginning, was that it's going to serve a purpose for the rest of Staten Island. It's going to protect. It's going to serve as a barrier. And that's what it initially did do in the year, in past years. And that's what it'll do again when this program is fulfilled.
Well, this time it'll be a natural barrier restored to what it was before anybody had built anything. That, I take it, is the general idea. So, Thomas Kaplan, back to you in Albany for the New York Times. We heard Senator Addabbo, his people, are giving this some thought, but they're not as desperate as the people in the Oakwood Beach Buyout Committee. How's the governor doing in getting the federal government, FEMA in particular, to come up with the money to do this?
Well, that is the next step. The federal government needs to approve this plan. What the governor's proposing is a little bit of a different program than what has been used elsewhere. There's an existing FEMA program that allows for home buyouts. That's a little bit of a narrower program. What the governor is trying to do is use money that was appropriated by Congress that's already been authorized for the Department of Housing and Urban Development, and he wants to use that money to create his own program for buyouts rather than the FEMA program. His proposal does need approval from federal housing officials. State officials have met with them. They've presented an outline of what they want to do, and now it's a matter of kind of ironing out the details. So that approval has not come yet. State officials certainly have been optimistic and hopeful in describing, how their meetings have gone, but that is the next step, getting that formal approval.